Hey guys, welcome to the Leaders Lead podcast. I love hearing other leaders' stories, how they possibly made it to a top of a multi-million dollar organization, and how they continue to inspire leaders of tomorrow. We all know that it takes a little bit of sacrifice, determination, and of course some failure to truly follow our dreams. So let's all learn and grow together as we hear from leaders of our past, our present, and our future. Welcome back to the Leaders Lead podcast. It has been, gosh, probably a few years before I have recorded any podcasts. Really, the reason for that is I ended up getting sick, and then COVID happened, and then life happened. So I'm excited to be back. We are changing really the format of the podcast, and I am actually going to be joining my dad at every podcast that we have. We still may have special guests that join us along the way, but we're really pivoting to have conversations that revolve around family business, having fun, and we hope you guys enjoy it, and we hope that you have fun with us. Our goal is to really focus on family businesses, but also just enjoying life together, and how do you have a family business and enjoy life, and what have we learned along the way? We've sold the company, gosh, a few years now. And I've gone on to doing my own career, more in the medical field, but have just a lot of knowledge that I've gained from working with my dad, as well as working in the corporate world, as well as some, private equity, organizations. So I'll introduce my dad. Jim DeRoche is here with us. He's going to be joining us now, like I said, every episode. We're going to try to make it fun and light and have a great time. So Jim, if you want to just introduce yourself, some of the background that you have. He has been on a previous episode. You can go back and listen to that. Yes, you have.
I don't think so.
It was been a long time. So go ahead. Introduce yourself and let us know a little bit about your experience. Why the heck would we want to listen to an old man now? But go ahead.
All right. Well, as she said, I'm her father. My name is Jim. I've been in business for myself and for another company for 40 years or whatever. I finally retired, sold the company I had. Lori was a part of that with me, and so she was mad because I closed the company down, but she's okay now. Anyway, so I've been thinking a lot, and Lori and I have been talking a lot about, and I don't know if I have all this pent-up knowledge, but I do have a lot of knowledge on running a company, owning a company, working for another company, whether it's, you know, budgets that you have to do and how do you do all the other things that you need with the company. Thought it would be nice to maybe open some of that up and get some of my knowledge out there, and also an opportunity for me to gain knowledge from my daughter, who does things quite a bit different than I did when I was in business. And not saying that's bad or good. It's just different. And so we're trying to get a, you know, look at what I had to go through when I went through business, and what people today have to go through, I guess, mm-hmm. to be successful in business.
Yes. And it has changed so much. That was one of the things we've been talking a lot about, is the difference in specifically sales, since I've been in sales now for the last, gosh, 20 years, it seems like, kind of just got into it. But, the difference in sales, even from when I first started in the sales field to today, and how AI is changing things, how CRMs have changed things, and highly different from when my dad started off in business and had a sales team, and how they did sales, I think is very interesting. And there's a few, I don't remember what book it was, but a few different stories that I heard on how we evolve as an organization and how we evolve as a sales team or a sales rep. And if we aren't evolving, are we just dying? So one of the two big ones that I've read about previously was Toys R Us, which, as you probably all know, they've kind of gone bankrupt. We've seen them come back around trying to do more like online type of stores, but went bankrupt, went out of business, and everyone was somewhat shocked about that. Same thing with Blockbuster. Blockbuster, you know, Be Kind, Rewind. That was their thing, like going on a Friday night over to Blockbuster and getting candy and popcorn. Like, that was a big deal. And I think, at least what they explained really in this book that I read, and I'm sorry, I'll try to look up the book and give it to you guys another time, but it was the fact that they refused to evolve. And so if you look at Toys R Us, one of the things that Toys R Us did early on is not recognize the behavior changes that a consumer was having. So everything was going on the internet. Amazon was starting to do more than just book selling. And they were going to some of these larger organizations and say, hey, let us fulfill your online sales. And so Toys R Us, thinking that they will, no kid will want to go online and look for a toy, right? They want to go into the toy store. If you've ever seen the movie Big, and you, that famous scene where they're on the piano and they're doing the song. I mean, I remember going to the toy store and it was like the greatest thing. My dad probably has a story of me throwing a fit in the mall because I wanted to go to the toy store.
More than one story.
Yeah. So there was this idea that people want to go into the store. However, things were changing. Everything was going on the internet. Toys R Us ended up outsourcing all of their online sales, or most of their online sales, to Amazon, and actually put themselves under because of that. So you see that happening. They weren't ready to accept the fact that a lot of their online sales were actually like increasing, but going away to Amazon. Same thing with Blockbuster. Shortly after that, Redbox came around. Not sure if you remember Redbox, but then Netflix was really big. And so instead of Blockbuster saying, wow, these are our competitors now, how can we compete? They really thought it was that mindset again that people want to come in and go get a movie at the store, and just did not evolve. And so that's one thing I think is interesting when we think of the different generations in business. And when I worked with my dad, I was a young buck, right? In my mind, I wanted to do anything fun and creative possible. And in his mind, he's like,
gotta make money.
gotta make money, but also understood more of the challenges that come along with building a business. And for me, I was just gung-ho, let's just do this. So there were ideas. I mean, gosh, I think even before Kardashians came around, I'm like, how cool would it be if we had our own TV show? We sit there and we banter at each other most of the time. My mom, at the time we had the office at our house, and my mom would sit in the kitchen yelling at us because she thinks that we're arguing with each other. And we're like, well, we're just talking. No big deal. We're talking. And we're from Chicago. So, I mean, Chicago. So by default, we're a little more loud than normal.
Can I relay this a little story? What you're talking about, what's happening today and how things have changed, and you've got all this technology and 3/4, I don't even know what it means. But that's sales tools that you have today. I remember, I don't want to say how many years ago it was a long time ago. And I was working for a company and I was watching TV at night, and it was a commercial came on. And it came on for United Airlines. And the scene was, they were in a conference room and he was passing out airline tickets to all of his salespeople. And because of fax machines and emails, they were concerned that they weren't getting out and talking to people face to face, that everything was done through a fax or everything was done through an email. So it's not any different than it is today. What I think has to happen today too is you need to pass out airline tickets to your salespeople and have them go talk to people and see them and be upfront and, you know, get to know them. Because, you know, the old saying is people buy from people who they like. Mm-hmm. And if they don't even know you, it's kind of hard to like you. And, you know, talking on the phone, I did it for years. Another little story, I was working for a landscape company, and at the time I was a truck driver, just had started picking up plants. And there was this nursery we had, and the boss in the office always referred to her as Heidi. And when he talked about her, we talked, whatever, it was always Heidi. So in my mind, I'm going up to pick up plants from a nursery, and the girl I'm going to meet with is Heidi. Her name wasn't Heidi. It was, I forget what it was now. But the point is, you think you know somebody until you get face to face. And in sales, at least in my mind, that hasn't changed. The technology of how you report everything and how you keep track of your sales or keep track of the customers, and all that's changed. And I think it's changed for the best. But you still, in my mind, have to get out.
Yeah, you definitely can't take away that personal interaction. And I do see that has changed a bit. So one of the things in my previous role that...
Do we have commercials in here or not?
No commercials, guys. No commercials. One of the things that my previous manager was really big on is looking at the data behind a sale and how many interactions with an office. So talking about like medical sales, how many interactions with an office does it take for that office to send a prescription, to send a referral? What does that look like? And we looked at the data and it was about 6 to 7 interactions. So you could imagine you have an executive team that's telling you we need to increase sales today, but we know as a sales team, it could take 6 to 7 interactions. If you have a call cycle of at the minimum, maybe a month, that could take 6 to 7 months to build that relationship. So we did think strategically in that and utilize different tools that we have today, different marketing concepts of, does it matter if we get a newsletter out to that office? Does it matter if we send an email of it? Hey, just wanted to let you know we have this CME coming up. You should come join us. We'd love to have you. Does it matter if we have those interactions in between the actual visit? And are we going to see a sale close quicker if we have some more of these interactions? So again, that could look like email marketing. That could look like actual like snail mail, they call now, email marketing of any kind. And also utilizing a CRM or any type of other data that you have to decrease that sale time. And it did work. The other thing we looked at as well is like, what does that interaction look like? So in any case, whether in medical sales or landscape sales, who you talk to is a big factor in that. So you could talk to the receptionist that they have a ton of information, but they can't make the decision in many cases. So they might be able to point you in the right direction and be an advocate for you. So if you build a relationship with that person, they could advocate for you. But you need to get in front of that decision maker. And so in the medical field, for example, if you worked for a hospital, you had physicians that sometimes could go out with you. And we utilized physicians a lot, and it was extremely helpful. And we found that if you met with a physician, or if one of our internal physicians met with one of the external physicians that we were trying to build a relationship with, we would see a sale kind of in that same 24-hour time frame. Rather than if we just go talk to the receptionist over and over again, the chances of a sale actually happening slim to none. So yes, he's extremely correct where you say you need to be in front of that decision maker as often as possible. It might take 6 to 7 interactions, but with technology that we have today, the CRM, email, different opportunities to connect with those decision makers, it can make the time that we are in front of them decrease. But it doesn't take away the impact that that time in front of that decision maker has. So I think that's the other thing that's interesting is, I don't know what your take was or what it, I don't want to say back in the day, but back in the day, yeah. When your sales reps would like go out on a regular basis, like, gosh, like how do they, and this is something I never had to deal with. How do they keep track of the offices that they went to, who they spoke to, like any fun facts that they found out about that office? Was that all done? Was there some type of like customer relationship management program, or was it all like Excel? What did they use to keep track of all that information?
Well, to begin with, when I first started working for this company, we didn't have computers for, I want to say 10 years, the first 10 years I was there, maybe not Kyle. Anyway, it was very simple. Everything was done manually. And the salespeople would, there were different ways of getting information. Some companies had a service that they would give you any job that's currently, they're looking for contracts, they're looking to have the job done. It could be for, in my field, maintenance, and what buildings or what companies need maintenance. And so that's how they do a lot of it. But they would just write it down. Everything would be written. And then as time went on, and like you talked about Excel or whatever, mm-hmm. then they start putting them in to that system. And I would have to be honest about it, I think it was probably 90% the salespeople were in the field calling on people, and the other 10% was in the office. So it was a lot of time, you know, that they spent out in the field, whether that, you know, our close rate on new work and everything was about 15% of the number of people that you contact. So that's actually pretty good.
And how did they find these people? Was it like, so this might go way back. Was it like the yellow pages? Like, I guess it was white pages for business. And some of you young folk might not even know what yellow pages are. It was like an actual like printed version of like everyone's name and number. Like if you wanted to go look up your crush, you would like know their last name and hopefully you know their parents'
look
name.
Up what?
Their crush. Your crush. You know, like
crush.
Yeah, like the kid that you liked when you were younger and you wanted their phone number. But you didn't have it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. You could look it up in the yellow pages crush. And it would be there. And you'd have to know the parents' name and hopefully that they actually put it in there. I don't even know how they
it's like anything in any kind of business that you're in, if you're a salesperson and you're good and you're passionate about what you're doing, you're going to know the people that you need to go talk to or make contact with based on their business and how it relates to what you're selling. So like if I was a landscaper, you better know every landscaper in the whole area. And know
you better know every landscaper in the whole area is like your competitor.
Exactly.
And do you, because would you they wanna, know their jobs?
Right. Well, you want to know, at least I wanted to know the, who they were and what kind of landscaping services they provided. Some people were just sprayed trees. Some people just trimmed trees. And the reason for that is want to know, I don't know how to put it. The different customers that may be available to you if, you know, based on what you do, and you're not wasting precious time looking for something. So anyway, and there were other ways, like I said, that they had, can't think what it's called right now, but I'm old, so you gotta bear with me. Anyway, the organizations that you might belong to regarding your field of what it is, you know, everybody's got an organization, everybody has, you know, this what they're doing, and they would have information on all of you know, the major companies that you want to deal business with, and you know, who's providing the services, and does something make sense to, you know, if we're going to expand into trimming trees or whatever, to know, you know, what is the market like, what can you do? It's like, you know, you're going to put up a McDonald's. Well, you're going to do your due diligence before you put the McDonald's up, because what if nobody is there to eat McDonald's? And
yeah, market research and understanding.
And a lot of that was just, we just, you know, did what we thought we needed to do. When I started my business with Lori, Lori was something that I never had before as far as sales and marketing. And I found out that they really do go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have salespeople and they have this other guy over here sick of marketing, because you have to understand the business and understand what's the best way to market it. So,
yeah. And I think a lot of the foundational aspects to sales and what makes a really successful salesperson is still there. You said like that 90-10. And I've heard that 90-10 rule a lot, is you have to be out in the field 90% of the time. 10% of your time should be more of that admin stuff. Probably very different than what he experienced, but a CRM program I've used.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. Nowadays, today, well, back in the day, we thought it was a big deal. We came up with what?
Keep going. Came up with what?
Don't distract me when I'm talking. I lost track of what I was going to say.
Though, like your CRM program, what you came up with back in the day.
Okay, that doesn't help me.
Okay.
That's gone.
Guys, he's old. He's old. I interrupted him and he lost his train of thought.
It'll come back to me.
But no, I think that the foundational stuff is still important. You have to be out there meeting your people, understand what your market is, and he got it. So go before we forget it again.
Just when you're talking about, you know, how they 90% in the field and you know, 10% in the office and that, it's my understanding from what I know what's happening today, there's probably no reason for salespeople to be in the office much at all, simply because of all of the technology that we have today, that they can do anything from their phone. You know, back we thought we were getting really good because we got BlackBerries.
Yeah.
That's a phone for old people. But so there was a friend of mine. He was actually an insurance guy, and he had a partner. And partner said to him one day, he said, "Hey, listen, we got a problem with John. What's the problem?" Well, he's not coming to the sales meetings, and he's not you know, giving the reports that we need and all that stuff. And my friend said to his partner, "Who's our highest salesperson right now? Who's selling the most?" He said, "John is." I said, "Then why do you care if he's in the office?" And I think some of that is happening today with people who work from home all the time. Salespeople can work from home, as far as I can see. Mm-hmm. But they can't sit in their house all day. They have to go out and see people.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah. I do think sometimes when we have too much data, because I love data, I love looking for ways to be more strategic in the field. And you can somewhat get overwhelmed by how much data is out there. But I think the other advantage that we do have today that maybe not back then was we are able to look at data to be able to see who are those customers that are purchasing what we are selling. There's data out there that will show you that. There's data out there that will show you claims data for the medical field of, you know, what are patients or what are physicians referring to most? What are they making claims on more often? So if that is something that you're out there selling to a neurologist, for example, you'll know what that neurologist is writing for prescription-wise or what they're referring out for. So there's a lot of data that will help decrease the amount of time that you are out there trying to cold call and canvas an area, where now you can be more pinpoint to know, okay, I'm going to go to this office because he is prescribing X amount of this drug, that's what we're promoting. We're promoting a similar drug that might be better than the drug that's already out there. So I do think that yes, it's required, or you should be out in the field a lot. However, there should be time taken to really look at the data that you do have to be more strategic. But one thing I've also learned, though, too, is a lot of that data, it's more of like pointing in a direction. It's not exact. But you might miss out on what I used to call like these hidden gems or a gold mine, where there's maybe not any information on them yet. Maybe it's a brand new office, but this physician worked with a partner and he's split off. And so there might not be, you might not find the data that you're looking for because it's a new address or for whatever reason. Stop into that office and at least ask the question. Is this something that they would use? What type of patients do you see? Or even if it's a different industry, stop into that office and say, just be inquisitive, be curious. And the more curious you are, you might find a gold mine. I have a quick story. We're going to wrap up here shortly, but quick story. I was in the medical field and out in the field canvassing an area. I knew this one area had a lot of medical practices. And I saw that there was this one office that was brand new. So I just stopped in there. Come to find out, they haven't even technically seen any patients yet. Brand new, haven't opened. I think they were opening the following week. And at the time, I was selling diagnostic sales. And he ended up being a urogynecologist. Yes, urogynecologist. I know, big word. The other diagnostic companies had not visited him yet. So I said, you know, just let me know when you're ready to get up and going. Here's a sample, you know, call me whenever you need anything. Well, a couple of days later, he ended up giving me a call kind of frantic, and the physician reached out and he's like, hey, I have a patient coming in a few hours. We don't have any diagnostic test for this patient. Can you bring one by? And I said, absolutely. I'm on my way over there. He was so thankful. And he's like, what is it, you know, that I can do? You helped me out so much. And I just said, just utilize me, make me your diagnostic sales number one go-to person for any of these, you know, things that you need to test. And he did. And I ended up going in there often, drop off, you know, just thank you cards or little treats for Halloween. And he would text me personally and say thank you for really anything I came to drop off. So, you know, being in person, it really helps you identify those offices or those locations or those customers that you would have never found out by just sitting at your house or maybe doing any type of internet search. So a lot of the tools we have today, extremely helpful to be able to, like Jim said, be at your phone, to be able to log activity on your CRM or to look up information, look up directions. There's so many tools today that we have to use that they didn't have, but the foundation of actually going in, building relationships, you can't take that away from a sales role. You will be extremely successful being in person. There's other ways too now that have changed a bit about, you know, if you can't be in person, can you be virtual and have some virtual meetings? And especially during COVID, I think that opened up everybody's eyes of how you need to be strategic in those ways too. And you can be successful. But I still think there's nothing like seeing that person one-on-one. If you have the opportunity, go do it. Jim, we have like, I guess, dad. I could call you dad. I can call you dad or Jim.
That or
a-hole.
You could do old that man. Too.
any last words you have before we end our first Welcome Back podcast and get some more ideas rolling so we can do another one? Any other ideas or any other thoughts?
Well, yeah, the thought I have is that, okay, she's showing me something.
The thought
much,
you have.
How much time we have. And she has to quit doing that because I'm old and I forget my thought. You know, it goes fast. You know, it's like playing Jeopardy. If they gave me, you know, 5 minutes for every question or answer, I could probably get most of them, but anyway, so now I don't
you know what, we'll make note. Now, if you guys have any questions or like any topics you want us to discuss around business, family business, the struggles and advantages I guess that we had as a family business, let us know. We'd be happy to take suggestions of topics. Anything that you're currently going through, struggling within a family business, we will discuss. I mean, we've been through all the ups and downs, so we'd be happy to share our experience in that specific topic as well. Thank you for listening. I'm excited to be back. We're going to try to do an episode a week, and then
every week.
Yes. So again, send us your ideas. We have some cool ideas coming up. So thanks for joining. Thanks for listening and have a fabulous day. thanks again for listening. We hope that you come check us out every week. Talk to you guys soon.